right. Good to be here this morning. This is my first time ever being here. I'm very impressed. And I asked Brother Bill, I said, you know, is there any correlation between me being here today and it being April the 1st? And he said, no. I hope that the Lord will give you something from the Word this morning. I've learned a long time ago that if you just preach the Word, you've always got something to say. You never have to back up on what you said. And the Lord's the one that's going to do the work anyway. So if you will, take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we're going to read verse 1. We're going to look at the parable of the unrighteous steward. And we're just going to read the first four verses here and go into the scripture. He says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 16, says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, don't you like it how the Holy Spirit just gives you a little insight into what's going on in people's hearts? He said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Let's pray. Father, as we are here before this great group of young men and young ladies, Father, I pray that you would bless this time. Lord, you know my inabilities this morning, and I pray, Father, that you would allow me to have liberty and Lord, the touch of God upon what I say this morning. And I pray that these that sit and listen today, Lord, that you would illuminate their minds today. Lord, that we might all give you honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you look here in verse 1, you'll see that Jesus is going to now begin to speak to his disciples. It says, and he said also. That little word also right there kind of sets the tone of the context. Anytime, I learned a long time ago, anytime that you come to a parable, the meaning of that parable and what Jesus is trying to teach is always in the context. If you look in chapter 15 and then chapter 16 and then most of chapter 17, you're going to find that all of this is a running discourse of the Lord. All, if you have a red letter Bible, it's all in red. And he is speaking all of this at the same time. That little word also goes back to chapter 15. Chapter 15 is a well-known parable of the Scripture. And if you look back in chapter 15 in verse 1, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. That's one group that is there. Then you look at verse 2, it says, and the Pharisees, and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So you have the publicans and the sinners there. You have the Pharisees and the scribes there. Then you'll notice in verse 3 it says, and he spake this parable. Not these parables, but this parable. That is in the singular tense here. In chapter 15 we have the parable of lost things. This parable right here, it not only speaks to the publicans and the sinners, but it also speaks to the Pharisees and the scribes. We have in verses 4 through 7, we have the account of the shepherd that leaves the 99 and he goes after that one lost sheep. Then in verses 8 through 10, we have the account of the lost coin and how that there's rejoicing over that one lost piece. You see each one, you're seeing there that there's rejoicing over that one lost sheep. There's rejoicing over that one lost coin, that it is valuable to that person that loves it. And you see, you have that, that's pointing to the Pharisees and the scribes, showing them that, you know what, God is placing value on that which is lost. But it is also speaking to the publicans and sinners, showing them that, hey, God does love you. God does value your life. Then we come to the last part of the prodigal son. Both sons were in the father's house, but one left. One took, he said, I want all your material right now, Father. Give me everything that's coming to me. We all know the story, how he went and he squandered everything that the father had given him. He found himself in the hog pen. And the Bible says that he came to himself and he returned to the father's house. But when he come back to the father's house, there's somebody there that's always been there. There's somebody there, that elder son. He even says when the prodigal son comes back and he sees how the father lavishes such love upon him, he says, now wait a second, you didn't do that for me. He says, I've always been here and I've always done everything that you said. He said, but you never gave me a calf and let me have a party with my friends. You see, it's one thing to be a good son, and it's another thing to be a good brother. The elder son might have been a good son, but he was a sorry brother. You see, these Pharisees and the scribes, they could not take it in their self-righteousness that somebody had went out and squandered everything and God loved that person just as much as he would love them. And you see, in the middle of all of this, in chapter 16, verse 1, he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. Then he's talking to the publicans and the sinners. In verse 1, what does he say? And he said also unto his disciples. It's like he's got the crowd before him, and then he points out his disciples. He says, now let me tell y'all something. And then he begins to tell them the parable of the unrighteous steward. Now this parable of the unrighteous steward, we're going to look at this in just a moment. But I want you to look down in chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. I want you to look at what he is teaching here. He's trying to get one point across with this parable. He says this in verse 13. He says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Here's what he's trying to get across with this parable of the unrighteous steward. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. He says this is what he's been trying to teach through this. You can only serve one in your life. And you see, this went against somebody. This made some people mad because you see in verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things. The Bible says, and they derided him. They outwardly sneered at the Lord. They derided him because they were lovers of money. That is the subject. Talking to his disciples in the presence of men whose master passion was money and possession. Can I tell you, as I have walked with the Lord these years, something that I have seen that derails good men and good ladies and good Christians is the love of money. Many, many young men have come through colleges just like this. They have gotten training. And when they leave this place, all of a sudden, you know, the call of God on their life, that fire in their life that God put there, it begins to be doused out with a comfortable job and a nice position. When there's churches everywhere out there that are needing somebody that has a passion for God, that has a desire for souls, and yet they would rather just kind of work in a church and not really take the responsibility of the church. I find that so much today, in our day today, that we have some type of a movement in our day to where they don't want to take the responsibility. They don't want to pay the cost. They don't want to always be there for someone. They'd rather just kind of work in the sidelines. You see, the problem with these Pharisees and the scribes, the reason that Jesus told them the parable of lost things, because they loved money more than they loved souls. You say, what is this, some kind of April Fool's message? You know, preacher, you're in a Bible college. You know, there ain't no money here. We struggling to pay. But you see, it ain't right now. It's when you come through the valley. Many times it's when we've come through the victory that the devil's going to jump on your back. Many times when you've come through that hard place and you're saying, boy, I have done it, that he comes up and he smacks you upside the head and says, you thought you had it. And he begins to divert your attention. You see, the devil doesn't care how religious we are, just as long as we're not real. Just as long as we're not sold out to God. I want you to notice here something about this parable as we go back. He says here that there was this rich man. Later on, he calls him Lord. Now, I want you to understand, he is using an earthly story to illustrate a spiritual truth. The Lord in this is not the Lord, okay? This steward right here is not a godly steward. He is going to show how that this steward had some wisdom in what he was doing. I want you to notice right here in verse 2, he says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? He says, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. He was found out. He was found out that what he had been given, he was not using it the way he should be using it. And then in verse 3, he realizes that he has suddenly been discovered. It says, then the steward said within himself, he said, what shall I do? It's been found out that I've been lazy. I've not been doing what I should have been doing. What am I going to do now? Then in verse 4, he says, you know what? He says, I am resolved what to do. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get some favor with these people that owe my master, so when my master kicks me out, I'll have somewhere to go. So in verse 5, he goes to the first one. He goes to him and he says, you know, how much owest thou, my Lord? In verse 6, he says, 100 measures of oil. He says, okay. He says, take thy bills, sit down quickly, and write 50. The next guy he goes to in verse 7, he says, how much do you owe him? He says, 100 measures of wheat. He says, take out your bill real quick. He says, write down 80. Now watch verse 8. And the Lord commended, notice, the unjust steward. Why? Because he had done wisely. Now watch the next verse, the next part of this verse. He says, for the children of this world are in their generation Here's the word again, wiser than the children of light. This man says, listen, I can't dig. I don't know if he was too lazy. He said, I can't beg. He says, I'm ashamed. He was too proud to do those things. But he said, you know what? I know what I will do. I know that I will take and get favor with these people that owe my Lord, so that when he kicks me out, I'm definitely going to lose it. I'm definitely going to lose it. So when he kicks me out, I will have somewhere to go. I will have favor. And he says, you know what? He says, that steward is wiser than the children of light. You see, he's not saying that this is Jesus and this is a righteous steward. He's saying, listen, even the world understands where your priorities ought to be. And when they understand that something is coming in front of them, that they need to prepare for it. Watch what he says here, verse 9. He says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Now that unrighteousness doesn't mean that it's evil. It just means that it's absent of righteousness. You see, money can be good or it can be bad. We can take our money out and send missionaries to the field to get the gospel around the world. That's the reason we're here as the church. Or we can take our money and we can consume it upon our own lust. We can take our money and do evil things with it. You see, what you've been given in your life, you are the steward of that. You say, but it ain't really a big deal because I ain't got much. And I tell you, I know what you mean. I got six kids. I know what it's like to raise a family and to provide for a family. But I want you to understand something today. Even in the little things that you have been given, God is preparing you for the big things in your life. What you do with the little things today, God is watching what you are doing with the little things in your life today. And watch what he says. He says, make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail or when ye die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. There is no everlasting habitations in this world. Watch what he says in the next verse. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. You see, character is built with the small things. Yeah, you ever heard somebody say, boy, I wish somebody'd give me $10 million. I'd give God $1 million. I'd tithe on it. What you going to do with $9 million? Oh, I tell you what I do with $9 million. I buy this and I buy that. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? We're here to get the gospel around the world. You see, the Pharisees, they loved money more than they loved souls. You see, it's easy in our day to look around at the world and you say, well, the world's got all of these things, and us not be willing to pay the cost. You see, our Savior walked this earth, nowhere to lay his head. Birds of the air, they have their nests. Foxes, they got holes. Let me ask you something today. In your life today, what is the focus of your life today? I want to encourage you today, as young men and young ladies, don't get caught in the culture of ministry. The culture of ministry
where you only rub shoulders with your church members and you know, your wives only, they only hang around the ladies of the church. And you know, when it comes to lost people, you're always going here and you're always going there. You're doing this and you're doing that. And all of a sudden, you're in a culture of nothing but saved people. I love to hear these young men talking about taking the van and going out to these apartments and getting young people to come. You know, I have seen some preachers that would not do that because they didn't want that kind in their church. That they didn't want that. They didn't want to have to deal with that. Well, you know, they may influence our young people. We can't have them in here. You see, we've gotten so weak, spiritually weak in our churches, that we can't even reach people no more. You see, it's about souls today. I want to encourage you today as you graduate and as you leave, you look at your life and you say, listen, it is about winning souls in this world today. Position your job. Position your house. I tell my people all the time that, you know what, we as the church here today, that we ought to be more invested in missions than anything else we've ever had. If we have not invested more in missions than what we paid for our house, then we have dropped the ball. Because you see, there is nothing of this world we're going to take with us. There is nothing. You see, money is a good servant, but it's a poor master. He says, he that is faithful in much, he says he'll be faithful in little. In verse 11, he says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Can I ask you something today? And I ask my people this all the time. Can God really trust you with a lost person? Could he trust you with a lost person that you don't just lead them through a prayer and you just don't tell them what to say, but you invest your life into them? I tell them all the time, I say this, I said, if you're not being discipled, are discipling someone else, what kind of disciple are you? Because the New Testament knows of no other kind. If you say you are a disciple of Christ and you don't, those two things are not in your life, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by I am a Christian if you are not investing your life in somebody else, somebody that's lost and undone and on their road to hell? Is that not what we're here for today? That's what we're here for today. That's what it's all about. And you see, it is through the little things we've been given. Can I tell you, some of the sweetest things you'll ever do is not stand up here, and I appreciate the opportunity, but it's not stand up here in front of a bunch of people and preach. Some of the sweetest things you'll ever do: go to the grocery store, buy a little food, find a family that doesn't know Jesus at all, never been in church, say, hey, I want to invite y'all over to the house. We want to have a meal with you. Why don't you come sit down and just talk with us? Let our kids play with your kids. And boy, after the meal, you treat them fine and you sit there and you begin to talk to them and get to know them. And then you take the Word of God out. And then you begin to answer their questions. You know what? As a preacher, that is a qualification of us today. We've forgotten in our time that we're to be given to hospitality. That's just as much as a qualification as the husband of one wife is. being apt to teach, it's just as much that we reach out. You remember Matthew when Matthew got saved? Back in the book of Matthew, he got saved, and what did he do? He went back to his house, and he got all the publicans and sinners to come to his house. And he got Jesus to talk to him. And you know who didn't like that? The religious crowd. The scribes and the Pharisees, they stopped the disciples. They said, "Why is your master eating with them?" Jesus quoted out of Hosea. He says, "I'd much rather have mercy than judgment." He says, "You go learn what that means. You go learn what that means." You see, we have been given resources in our lives today for his honor and for his glory. He says in verse 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No man, no servant can serve two masters," he said. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have savings. The Bible teaches that you should live by margin. You should have money put back. You should supply for your family, and you should take care of your family. I'm not saying that just because you're poor, that's going to make you spiritual. I'm saying what we have been given. Every dime that we are given, every penny we are given. Can I press it just a little bit forward, a little bit more, not be out of context? Every hour you've been given, every opportunity you have been given, you're a steward of that today. You're a steward of that today. We cannot serve self and serve him. You see, the Pharisees didn't like this because they loved money. He goes on to tell them in Matthew 23, they devoured widows' houses. They did what they did for the money. And I ask God all the time, "God, don't let me do what I do for the money." You see, when I stop loving souls, I'm just doing it for the money. We have a ministry at our church. We started at the flea market. We just go out there. We get a table. We lay it out there. And we give away coffee. And we give away bottled water. And we hand out tracts. And you want to know what comes through Greenwood Flea Market? Everything. I even met a man one day. He said he was the one. He was Jesus. All kinds of stuff. But you know what? Sometimes I need that. Sometimes I get to go in the hospital, get to go in here, and get to go in there. And you know what I need? I just need to get out there among the souls and say, "Listen, do you know Jesus today? Do you know him?" You look in their eyes and they're strung out on meth and they're drunk and they got all these other things going on in their life today. They don't even know who they are. They don't know what their identity is. Anything like that. And you're able to take the word of God and you're able to say, "You know what? God loves you where you're at today. He can help you. Whatever problem you have in your life today, this right here has the answer. The scripture is sufficient. Jesus is enough." Oh, can I tell you, it doesn't matter what problem they have. He's got it. He's got it covered. I don't go into my office when a couple comes in and they're saying, "We're having marriage problems, preacher." I don't go in there and wring my hands and say, "Oh, I wonder what I'm going to tell them. I wonder what I'm going to tell them." You know what I do? I just open the book. I just open the book. I ask them, I said, "Do you know Jesus?" You got to get them right on the first foundation. And I've found out, you know what? If you ever get them on the right foundation, you can build on that. But until they get on the right foundation, you ain't going to help them much. I want to encourage you today. The devil today has put a bullseye on you today. He's put a bullseye on you today because you have a heart for the things of God. The fact that you're here today would mean that, you know what, you've got a heart to do something for the Lord. Don't let the devil trip you up. Don't let the devil get your eyes on something that's not God's will for you. You see, he says in verse 15, he's speaking to the Pharisees. He says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Can I tell you today, it doesn't matter what people think about me in the end. It's not going to matter what people think about you. When we stand before God and we give an account of our life, nobody's going to be able to come by and say, oh, you know, Brother Kevin, he stayed all night at the hospital one night. Oh, you know, he come to my family when my daddy died. Or he, you know, he come here, he come there. God knows my heart. God knows if it's real or not. God knows. God knows each and every one of us today. And can I tell you today, the great opportunity that we have in the day in which we live today is probably one of the greatest opportunities that American Christians have ever had. It is the darkest day our country's ever had, and sometimes we say, you know what? Oh, we just need to run back into our churches. We need to close the doors. We need to do this and we need to do that. Can I tell you, if there's ever been a day when we need to get some fire in our bones and have some all-night prayer meetings and get out there among the people, stand out there, witness to them, love them, it's the day in which we live today. Because can I tell you, the world's not going to do it. And Jesus died that you and I might have the opportunity. You know, I tell my people all the time, I don't want our community to say, well, that's a nice little church down there. They don't bother anybody. They're sweet. You know, they just help people along their way. Can I tell you, I can't help people along their way because I know what I believe about the doctrine of sin. It hinders me from helping people along their way because I believe that man's greatest need is a Savior. They're on their way to hell. And if we're just helping them along their way, we're just helping them along their way to hell. I want Calvary to be that place. You know what? They say, those people down there, they just believe the Bible, what it says. They're all the time talking about Jesus. They're all the time knocking doors. They're all the time out there handing out tracts. They're all the time trying to shake up the culture. Don't you want to be like that? Don't you want to be stirred? Because he says of these Pharisees here, he says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of. You see, this unrighteous steward is off as he was and as crooked as he was. He understood that there was a day coming where he was going to have to face judgment. And he prepared for that. Is it not mine and your place to have wisdom to say, you know what, one day we're going to have to give an account for everything in this life. I want to remind you that life is a short span of time in which we prepare for eternity. This is the only time you and I will have to walk by faith. Our faith will end one day when it ends in sight. This is the only time that we have time to say, you know what, we're going to read God's Word and we're going to believe God's Word and we're going to take God's Word to this world. We live in a time where, you know what, we can buy a copy of the Scriptures in our language cheaper than we can buy a bottle of water. Wow. We've got the Word of God so plentiful. I want to encourage you today. Don't fall in Satan's trap. When Satan says, oh, come on over here, you know, you don't worry about what God told you. When you were stirred up in Bible college, you was just in the culture then. Come on over here. Let me take in, I know you've got that degree, but you would be so effective as this businessman over here. Now, if that's what God has given you to do, you do it with all your heart. But I want to tell you something. If God has called you to preach, you better preach, brother. You don't settle for an office job and just kind of helping out in the church. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you what we need today in our culture. We need some men that will sell out. And they will say, you know what? I know that church over there, boy, they got problems. But you know what? God's called me to them. And I'm going to love those people. And I'm going to work with those people. And I'm going to cry over them. And we're going to get out there and we're going to reach souls for the glory of God. Can I tell you, you'll never find more peace and joy in anything else than when you're in the middle of what God has for you in your life. And I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you. The fight is still on. It is still on for America. It's still on for our community today. The fight is still there. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. Don't get caught up in church culture where we justify not reaching souls, not having someone on our heart. Let me ask you something today. Do you got a soul on your heart today? How long has it been since you took the Word of God and you said, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? How long has it been today? Because you see, this world's going to pass away. And only what we've done for Christ, those are the only things that's going to matter in those everlasting habitations. Be wise today. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. I pray that you'd take these few thoughts this morning. And Lord, that you'd stir our hearts and stir our souls around those which are lost today. And Lord, as we live our lives before you, may we remember that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And may we never forget that if we're not doing that, we're not much like you. Help us in all that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen.